Hey, everybody, and welcome to the first episode of Press X for the Culture, where we're going to be touching on various topics revolving around gaming culture and our own.
Yes.
I am your host, Marcus Ellison, a.k.a. your heavyweight champion from Wishanigga Wood, California, a.k.a. Mr. Ellison, if you nasty, a.k.a. the Thrustmaster Supreme.
You done?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh. Okay.
It's Sean MF Ross up in the building.
What's the MF stand for?
Melanin Full.
Ah.
Melanin Full.
Nice.
You know, it's your boy. You know, you already know who it is. Young Quadroon.
I'll hop in there.
Go for it.
Hey, everyone. This is Cameron. And the Sultan of Segways. And DJ, you want to hop on in there?
That was okay?
That was real low energy.
Very somber. He's running
as
low.
He
hasn't had any food.
I know. I'm waiting for my Wendy's.
I am DJ, a.k.a. Did you know?
Did we?
Chuck Norris' real name is Carlos.
Oh, shit.
Really?
Really.
Wow.
A.k.a. the man with no A.k.a.s. Let's get it going.
All right. So, for our first episode of For the Culture, we're going to be exploring what it means to be a black gamer to us individually.
Yes.
Because one thing that we've been thinking about is, you know, we kind of advertise ourselves as, you know, bringing forth a minority perspective on the gaming industry. And while on principle, we're doing that anyways by being four black dudes in a room talking about video games.
Yeah.
But
we have no proof.
Exactly. There's we've only, you know, dipped our toe in here and there. But, you know, I don't think we've ever explicitly explored this exact topic.
That's true.
So, yeah. Better time. Now's as good a time as any. There you go.
There you go.
Awesome.
You got it, dog?
Yeah, I'm all right. But since you got jokes, you want to start?
Yeah.
Hold on, let me get my dinner dash at DJ's house. You're starving.
Dinner dash?
Get to your
this
house.
Man out here postmating.
Is that what it means to be a black gamer, Cam?
Exactly. This man out here.
Always on your phone?
Yeah.
Not paying
are
attention to people around
hog
you.
Hog moss?
Big speed? Nigga.
So, Cam, what does it mean to be a black gamer?
You know, honestly, I think what it means is wanting, like, to have awesome gameplay and awesome stories, but then at the same time wanting to identify with the characters that you play with.
Yeah.
And in a way that isn't hokey or that isn't necessarily tied to sports games. So for the longest time, like, the idea of black people being a black gamer, like,
you got NBA, nigga. What do you
right.
want?
Yeah, right. You yeah. and Madden, and you an NBA.
Right.
You and a little bit the soccer games.
And we might diversify it up a bit by playing either Mortal Kombat or Street Fighter.
Right. You're right. You're right.
And those, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with those games.
You can be Saget from Street Fighter.
Yeah. And or Jax from Mortal Kombat.
You went Sagat instead of Balrog.
Exactly.
The actual black person.
Hey. Literally Mike Tyson.
Hey, I know what I did.
But, like, and the thing is, not to say that there's anything wrong with those games.
Right.
Because those games were my entry into, like, video gaming.
Yeah.
There were a lot of
but
people's.
It wasn't sure. until, like, you know, Metal Gear Solid or Final Fantasy that I was just like, oh, there's more to video games than sports and fighting.
Yeah.
Right.
And then when you try to share that with, like, people in your community, like, man, get that nerd shit out of here, boy.
Oh, yeah.
And then that's when, like, you know, I stumbled upon, I guess, traditional video gaming culture.
Air
I guess,
quotes.
White culture or whatever when it comes to video gaming. And you're like, okay, this feels like a community. I know that there's a video gaming community here, but it still doesn't feel complete or whole or
right.
Connected. And so what it means to be, like, a black video gamer, it means that, like, you really have to go out and search out your own community.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or build it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And also means that you really have to curate your online gameplay as well.
True.
Because you remember when, like, Halo or the first time you can play online, you're like, yo, this is fire.
Yeah.
And then, like, some 6-year-old get on there.
Like,
whoa. Yep. And there's no mute function yet.
Yeah.
You're just like, bro, I'm never playing online.
You know what?
Again.
That happened to me playing Call of Duty. We were in the lobby. Random lobby. Sean Ross is a nigger. And I'm like, what?
How did that be your name, bro?
I mean, that was my.
Your game tag was your name?
I love my name. I'm kind of vain, but whatever.
It's a cool name.
How did he know? This was before you could link like your social media and
all
the crazy stuff. But we moved past that. Kids today would not be able to survive in the chat rooms of yore.
Nope.
No, man. You think niggas was saying stuff is problematic then? Boy. I was born in problematic. Shaped by the problematic.
You think toxic masculinity is your ally? I was born in it. Molded by it. I think also because like people got locations on now, bro.
Yeah.
Ooh.
People will come up and give you the smoke.
You sure about that? You sure about that for real? Come see me outside.
All right, then. Come outside your house right now. But yeah. No, I really like what you had to say about that, and piggybacking off of it, I think that being in the gaming community as a black gamer, you're always going, like you said, there's going to be a missing piece because the gaming community is still white dominated.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so people of color are always going to be on the fringes for the time being until more and more and more inclusion and more representation gets normalized.
Yeah.
And because of that, like, I always, my intro into video gaming was actually like the quote unquote nerd games. Like I had had like Sega and all that stuff. And so I didn't play sports games until like much later. I was playing like Sonic, Mario, which, you know, everybody played.
Right.
And then like when I got into, you know, more advanced gaming, I was playing RPGs like Grandia, Wild Arms, Final Fantasy.
Oh, my nigga was nerd.
Yeah. And like,
oh, you nerd?
Because he played RPGs?
No, but Grandia, like.
Yeah, bro.
Like,
I was
this
in
wasn't
there.
No Final Fantasy.
Exactly. Bro, Grandia is underrated. And then like Star Ocean and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And I think that at that time also, blackness wasn't a mainstream concept.
Right.
Like you didn't know. Unless you had that conversation with your family and like it was a big thing in your own household,
yeah,
it wasn't this widely known thing. So when I was younger, it wasn't something that I knew fully to explore. I just knew something felt different.
Right.
Like I knew that there was a different way that other black kids would look at some of the stuff that I was doing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You didn't fit in.
Right.
Yeah.
I didn't know exactly why I was feeling weird, but it was there.
Yeah.
And I think that it's tough to be a black gamer
who doesn't play sports games.
Right. I think it's
especially tough if you don't play sports games.
Yeah. I think it's tough because we're still, even though it's in to be a nerd now.
Yeah.
It's still a niche.
Yeah.
You know?
We're literally a niche in a niche.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Because nerddom on a mainstream level looks sort of different than like nerddom, I guess.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
actually know about stats and obscure stuff and actually looking up.
Because niggas been playing video games and watching anime forever.
Right.
But
they never self identified.
There's a difference between like black people been watching shonen anime. Black people still love shonen anime.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, whenever you talk in a room full of niggas about anime, it's going to be shown in anime that's getting brought up.
Dragon
My Hero
Ball
Academia,
Z.
Dragon Ball Super, you know, Hunter x Hunter, JoJo, like all that stuff.
Yeah.
But if you start talking about Paranoia Agent.
What?
Exactly.
Exactly. Like, you know, then it's, you see that divide.
Right.
You see like, okay, you can be in a room and since nerddom is more normalized now, it's easier to get drawn into, oh, snap, I can feel like I'm a part of this community, have this conversation. But then you really start to expose those layers of how much of a nerd you actually are. And that's when you start to lose people.
Right, right. Once you start showing them that you are more informed about this than they are, that's when they get defensive. And that's when you really notice like, oh, okay, I'm exposing too much of myself right now. Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like we're going to need a moment where how we had Black Panther.
Yeah.
We don't have a game like that yet.
You're right.
Where it's a majority of black people, but then is the mainstream, is the majority going to feel like, why do you even need a game like that?
Mm-hmm. Yes. They absolutely will say absolutely. Something like that.
Absolutely. Like, could you have, even though in our...
You got Lenny from Red Dead. Live with...
Even Lenny though in our right. in our own minds, we know that Kratos was a black father, but...
That was the most confusing thing. It's like, so Kratos is a black guy, but the ash is making him a white... Why is his nose look white, but he's a black? What's going on here?
Like, we know, we know in execution and voice that Kratos was a strong, tortured black father, but he's actually like a Roman Spartan.
You're right.
But you're right. We don't have that
full
Black
representation
Panther moment game for us.
We get a token or two here or there.
I think the
there.
Closest we got was Watch Dogs 2.
So yeah. I'm glad you said that because I thought Watch Dogs 2, Marcus from Watch Dogs 2, was going to be like that watershed moment for us, like our Black Panther moment. And the part of the reason why was the press run leading up to Marcus, like the way when he was invited onto the shows, like the charisma of the voice actor, the actual story, some light jabs at fake diversity within Silicon Valley, but not too heavy-handed. And the game actually, so think about the first Watch Dogs, no one liked it. I mean, well, not to say no one liked it, but it
no
was
one
like,
liked
people
it.
People were disappointed because one, you know, downgraded graphic. Yeah, exactly.
It was just hyped too much.
No one liked it.
It was Diet Batman.
And so then Watch Dogs 2 comes out, and not only does it build upon what people wanted in the original Watch Dogs, but it takes it a step further. There's a compelling story. There's a character who has real motivations and is a character that's just legit likable. And I thought that was going to be like the moment, you know, it's a big studio, Ubisoft. And I felt like we was initially hyped. Like, I feel like black people who played with Marcus was like, yo, I see myself.
Yeah. I loved that game.
Yeah.
I think the problem is, though, that the unfortunate thing is not enough people played that game.
Facts.
Not enough people.
The first
played,
game killed the hype for the second.
Right.
You had to be a diehard.
I don't think Ubisoft did a good enough job marketing the game. Like, the marketing that was there was kind of interesting and psychedelic and stuff like that, but they didn't push it enough.
Yeah.
Because Watch Dogs 1 kind of hurt them. Mm-hmm. And then Watch Dogs 2, I just don't. I feel like Watch Dogs 2 was allowed to be as weird as it was because B-tier things tend to get a little more leeway to be weird because they don't have the A-tier pressure on them.
Right, yeah.
But at the same time, because it's a B-tier thing, it gets B-tier marketing, and it didn't get pushed that same way.
At the same time, the same way how we have, like, a Spike Lee movie.
Right.
And you have things in there you can identify with. Everybody can watch it.
Yeah.
When are we going to have a quote-unquote black game studio? And
that's
then,
what I was going to say, bro.
And then even then, furthermore, do you want everybody seeing behind the veil?
Of what?
The fact that black people are just normal people?
No. Not necessarily that. Yes, we are normal people, but certain cultural nuances that you don't want to share with other cultures because you don't want other cultures looking in and looking down on you because you're doing certain things.
Yeah.
You see,
but like, for example, like when we look at Persona 5, right?
Right.
That joint is in Japan.
Yep.
It has some sketchy stuff about like some, or even Yakuza, like those are
Japanese games
because
it's a cultural thing that they
and,
can
like,
identify
there's
with
some stuff in there that might be inherently Japanese that I might look at that and was like, yo, this is
right
weird or cool
or right, or I'm like, yo,
y'all are sexually repressed as fuck.
Exactly. And like we just like, okay, it's
just a part of
and so
I think that you kind of have to in order for, like, you know, people like to say that they're colorblind and all that stuff, and I think that that's bullshit, but
I like roses.
The idea of colorblindness in terms of, like, seeing everybody as equals, in order for that to happen, you have to peel back those layers, I think, and show these are things about us. We have pitfalls. We have, you know, triumphs. We have
faults
all the...
And,
exactly. And that... Because that will force people to see us as three-dimensional people.
Right.
Just like white people get the chance to be all the time. Or like, you know, I feel like even though I know that instinctively we want to keep certain things in-house, which I get, but like how are we going to bridge those gaps if the we thing, don't the, let... But,
the, so, wait, real quick. To answer Sean's question, we will see a black game studio. It will be in
Press
Africa.
Press X to start. No, go ahead.
No, it will be in Africa in about 10 years.
Yeah.
They are slowly building. And, like, funny enough, like, I've actually been paying attention to it because I've been seeing things, like, here and there. I'm just like, this is...
Is it financed by Akon?
Pretty much.
Wouldn't be surprised. Wouldn't be surprised. But, like, they are slowly building. And I think that's going to be real interesting once they put out, like, their first game.
Yeah,
and it's true. Just like, this is from, like, continental black.
No, that's true. Like, Africa's really...
It's going to be very different.
Like,
too.
There was that long time because they're behind the curb. I mean, in the film industry, like, every country's behind the curb to America.
Yeah.
But, like, when you thought films in Africa, you think Nollywood movies.
Right.
But, like, they've really stepped it up recently.
Yeah.
And so, actually, that wouldn't be surprising if the first black gaming studio came out of Africa, because they're really starting to
pick it up. Okay, so I just want to give my thing.
Go ahead, yeah.
Because I feel like I want to make sure I get this. Okay, so what it means to me to be a black gamer. Growing up, one of my first memories of playing a game was with one of my friends who was Korean. I'm going to say South Korean because he was here.
How'd you get out?
Right. And like, we played like Atari together.
Yeah.
And like, we played Atari.
Holy shit.
Yeah. we played Altered Beast. Like,
the niggas playing the Pong.
I played a TurboGrafx-16, if y'all heard of it.
16. Isn't that Kanye West album?
No.
Boy.
Go ahead, DJ. Yeah, go ahead.
So, like, and like, funny enough, when I look back onto that memory, like, I realized that, like, when I really look at my gaming history, I didn't outwardly express it, but I kind of identified myself as a Japanese gamer because of the games that I played and how I identified with those games, like skipping years ahead, like Armored Core.
Right.
That was, hey, that
find a way to work that in everything.
Right? Always, bro. Him and this damn Armored Core.
I want the new Armored Core game to come out for you at this point because you are so devoted.
I do too. I bet you won't like it. But
this gameplay is ass.
I can't believe this shit. Why'd you even come out in the first place, damn it?
Game anyway, of the year.
So, like, when I look at that game, it's a Japanese game. It's cumbersome as hell.
Right.
Like, the dialogue is very Japanese. It doesn't make any sense in English. But, like, it is, like, detail. Like, yeah. So, it's just, like, all those little things, I think, like, man, that was, like, one of my favorite games.
Right.
And, it, like, when I look at those, and, like, also Kingdom Hearts.
Right.
You don't, you can't.
Which one?
You can't. One. Two. The first one, boy.
Okay.
And this first one. First one that I played.
Right, sorry.
Like, you can't tell a black person that.
Yeah.
Yeah, what's your favorite game?
The Kingdom Hearts.
What's Kingdom Hearts? So you like Disney? That doesn't work. So, like, for me, go ahead.
No, sorry, go ahead.
Okay. For me, growing up as a quote-unquote black gamer, like, I didn't really identify the black part until later in life when I realized, like, oh, I understand that what I am taking away from these games is not my actual representation.
Right.
It's a representation that I think is cool, so I'm kind of embodying that.
Right.
But I realized that I'm not really embodying myself. Mm-hmm. And once I made that connection, I kind of pulled away from games a little bit because I realized, like, I'm actually nowhere to be seen in any of these games other in, like, in the background in, like, a really low poly model.
Right.
And it's just like, what's going on here? Mm-hmm. And it was only until I made that, like, jump, then I realized that, like, okay, one, this has to change. I don't know how it has to change, but it has to change. And that was probably for me when I wanted to really start making games. Because I figured, well, the only way I can change is for me to be a part of this and change.
Right.
So I think we all grew up in the same generation. So we all kind of grew up with, like, seeing the fact that, oh, we're actually not in games. We're not being represented.
Right.
I was apathetic to that. I really didn't care what I looked like. I really was concerned about what I could do in the game as far as like powers, moves.
Right, yeah.
Story.
You were more about the gameplay.
It'd be cool if there's a black guy in there, but I mean, whatever.
Yeah. See, yeah, like I was very much so like that too. But like I also think part of this has to do with like my mom. My mom kind of like reinforcing that, like, hey, you're Jamaican.
M-Y.
Yeah, right. Like that's your heritage. Like, yeah, you are American.
Right.
But you're Jamaican.
Right.
And like
we need some Jamaican games.
You're right. And she was like, don't you forget that. And
what
was,
a Vibes Cartel soundtrack. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Grand Theft Auto Jamaica.
Bullet.
So like it was only like once I like put the pieces together.
Yeah.
That was just like, okay, like this is something that we need. Like we need to have that representation because we need the little boys and girls to be able to see themselves and not do what I did, which was like, fucking Sora's awesome. I want to be Sora.
Yeah,
was like,
I think
my hair will never fucking do that.
And he's trying.
Hey, I couldn't change all at once, okay?
Take the Michael Jackson route. Go ahead.
And I think that that's one of the things that people don't seem to realize, or the people who are like make a big stink of it don't seem to realize about representation, is the desire to be seen helps you feel like a human being,
right?
You know,
right?
Like it lets you know that you exist on all corners of the world.
Yeah.
Or put to you like this, right? You know how growing up, the traditional story when you talk about black, or when I say traditional, meaning when you hear from the rappers or athletes, is like when you're in the hood, the only way to make it out is to either play like basketball or football,
yeah,
or rap, right?
Yeah.
That same approach is taken in video games. The only way to see yourself really is in basketball or football.
Absolutely.
Or Death
rap.
Jam.
Yeah, rap. Death Jam, Fight for NY, or 50 Cent, Blood on the Sand.
There still needs to be absolutely a sequel to Fight for New York, by the way.
Yeah.
Icon was unacceptable.
Oh, they also had a Wu-Tang fighting game, if y'all remember that.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so, like, think about, all right, Black Panther came out, and every little kid was dressing up in their little garb. And
it was a beautiful thing.
And doing, like, Wakanda Forever. Something. Like, that can be, a moment for...
Bro, I saw white kids dressing up as Black Panther for Halloween.
Yeah, it was cool. Yeah. As long as they didn't paint their face.
They didn't, but okay. I was just like, little white kids out here wanting to be T'Challa. That's wild.
Right.
Yeah. And like, that can happen. And I think whenever you talk about this in games media, right, because it's largely, for the most part, run by like
white people.
And specifically white males. And so like, whenever you try to have this conversation, it's like, I don't want to have identity politics. We should have diversity of thought and blah, 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 blah. There's a way that you can have there's a way that you can tell diverse stories that honors people's identities and heritage and who they are, where they come from, and at the same time have it be quality, and at the same time tell interesting stories.
Yeah.
And I think the limited imagination of the white critics is that there can be, the moment you interject race or color into it, that the story becomes limited. And because I'm a black person.
Limited in terms of, oh, that person was probably from an abusive family.
Yeah.
Drugs.
Like, I don't see why. Yeah.
Yeah.
And because I am said black person, I understand that I can tell an incredible story that actually factors in who I am. And at the same time, it's not only limited to my race. It can tell this broad stroke. Right. It's one of the reasons why, like, for me, character
is so important.
So important in games. Like, I can play a trash game, but if I can make my own character, I can live with it, because it's like, my race is important to me. Yeah. That's why I made this character. Like, the characters I'm going to make are always going to be black.
Right.
But now I have the opportunity to, like, shape the story however way I want, but the character looks like me, and that's important.
I can't wait for there to be a character creator, like a game with character creator, that takes into account your race. I can't wait for that.
Mass Effect Andromeda.
Yeah, South Park was the closest.
Yep.
Where
Mass Effect Andromeda. Boy, no, your daddy could have been black
if
your siblings were black.
I'm talking about a game that, based off of your race or your sex, changes the way that you're treated, even if it's slightly.
people are gonna complain.
Yeah, I don't absolutely.
I know that.
But do you want to play Police Brutality Simulator? Like,
I'm not saying necessarily that, but I'm not saying, and I don't think every game would need to do that.
Really
but.
And truly, that would probably be an eye-opening experience for some people.
No,
you don't have to play it. You don't have to play
it. And I'm not saying that you would need to play it, but I'm saying that just to know that that's a thing that any game developer would try to do, period. I'm not saying that that has to be the standard, like, but I would love for a game to be like, your race has taken into, we've taken into account your race in this, and
I can see the same way, like, so here's why here's what my feeling with, like, black media, and kind of goes on to what Sean was saying about lifting up the hood. Yo, black people mad sensitive.
Yeah.
They're mad sensitive. And I feel like the moment they find, like, there was a white writer on it or whoever it was that, and, like, they're going to be like, well, I think that person should be able to tell. Blah, blah. And, like, so that's also the caveat of, like, wanting, like, diverse, like, where other ethnicities can be like, well, you know, this person didn't get this right. Oh, well, I'll still play this game. I feel like with black folks, especially the way we utilize social
media. We want to be up in arms and ban and protest.
But
and,
I was,
like, that, I feel like,
and cancel culture.
Because I feel like the first company that's going to do this is not going to get it right. And I think we have to have that expectation that understanding there. For example, Black Panther. I think Black Panther was done well. But then I think Black Panther 2 or whatever it is.
It's going to be even better.
It's going to be fire. And same thing with video games, especially knowing that it's going to have a lot more white hands in it. And so it's going to have a lot more white hands in it, that's a greater potential for it not to be done right.
Absolutely.
And I think.
Quote unquote.
Yes.
Well, I'd say that. While I agree, I'd say that, like, some of the characters that we talked about that we loved, like Marcus, for example, from Watch Dogs 2. I'm pretty sure that game was written by white people.
Yeah. White Frenchmen.
Yeah.
We're in France, though. I mean, they have...
You're right.
And the thing is, like, what...
Niggas in Paris.
Go ahead. I think that while, yes, there will be members of our community that would be pissed off by, you know, white people writing a black character, and understandably so.
Yeah.
But if it's done well, like Marcus was.
Yeah.
Or like, what's his name, from Mafia 3.
Mafia, that's what I was going to say.
You know, where those were white writers too, but there's a whole section in that game where you could go kill the KKK, and like, they even put a disclaimer in the beginning of the game, like, there are extreme moments of racism and stuff, and we did not want to hide from that.
Yeah.
Like, as long as it's stuff like that, like, going back to what Cam said about us not having a Black Panther moment in video games, I think we're slowly approaching there, because for the longest time, even if black characters weren't in a game, their blackness wasn't accounted for outside of their skin.
At the moment, it's not going to do numbers, though. Black main character that we've had has been in a sequel. So people are buying it because they like that game franchise. Fuck it, there's a black game character this time. I'm going to still play it.
That's true.
So I was going to say, I think what is important to this whole, like, imaginary product that we're creating right now is, what is the context of this black-led game? Is it like Uncharted, but instead of Nathan, it's Drake?
I mean, or like Nadine, like, for example, Nadine, when you had the Uncharted Lost Legacy.
Exactly.
Like, I like Nadine.
Yeah, Nadine was great.
Yeah. It was like a white lady playing a black woman.
Yeah, that was.
Do you have to have black? Do you have to? I know this.
Do you have to have a black voice actor to play a black character?
I mean, she was British, though, so I don't. And she's. I'll be honest, she sounded like every British black person I've ever heard talk.
It's true.
Well. Every British black person that's not from South London.
True.
You want, mate? Hey, having yourself a giggle.
I think the biggest thing is, one of the things that made T'Challa or the Black Panther movie in general work is, this was a character that was rooted, like, his blackness, every character in that movie that was black's blackness was key to who they were.
Yeah.
There was different alliances, different ideologies, but at the end of the day, their blackness was a through line.
Yeah.
And I think that that's something that would need to be, we need more characters like that in video games. We're getting there. We have Marcus. We have, I keep forgetting his name, from Mafia 3. We have
Clay. Isn't it Clay?
Yeah,
black guy.
Yeah,
we have. We also have other Marcus from Detroit, even though he's an android. But like, you know, we have
Marcus Luther King.
We're slowly
Lincoln Clay.
Okay, we're slowly but surely getting or there. We even have a Bayak from.
I was literally about to say my fan. Like the like, first assassin. One of the first assassins.
Yeah. Origins, Assassin's Creed Origins.
You know, so we're slowly but
and
surely
they had a fire
getting
marriage.
There. Yeah.
Here's the thing.
And Clarence's parents had a real good marriage.
Everybody watches movies.
Yeah.
Video games are a niche. People still look at it as a child's thing. A black, quote-unquote, focused game is not going to do numbers.
That's why I think it's important in terms of what the context of the game.
Yeah,
because, for example, kids right now, they just want to play Fortnite.
Yeah. So, like, here's the thing. I was working on a game doc, and the game was going to be a RTS game, and it was centered around the Maroons. I think I'm not sure if I'm saying it right, but the Maroons are a rebellion group that was created in Jamaica, and they basically fought for their freedom.
Okay.
So I was going to make a game like that, but like, of course, change it up a bit where you're not just fighting racist white people.
Why not?
But like, it was basically like, of course, all the main characters would be black.
Right.
So I think in a situation like that, or in a game like that, where, hey, the main characters that you are relating to are all black, but it's not necessarily about being black. It's about fighting this invasion, invading group. Right? Yeah. It's Don't black, steal my idea.
The black. Yeah. Copyright. I think that's another thing that needs to be driven home is, yes, these characters are black, but there's motivations that can be realized on a wide scale. Like, yes, these are Jamaican freedom fighters fighting for their, you know, freedom, but they have a desire for something that should be entitled to everyone.
Exactly.
And like, you have to have, unless you have no empathy, you can see somebody fighting for freedom and want them to.
But check
to,
this out. Like, the reason why that's not, Assassin's Creed literally does it every game. Like, every game is centered around whatever struggle. So you have the American Revolution with Connor, right?
Right.
Yeah.
And the natives.
Underrated.
Assassin's Creed Liberation, trash game, but it was around like slavery in the Caribbean islands because it was around the same time as Black Flag.
Yeah.
Like, I think the issue is, for example, Assassin's Creed is literally like a battle, a struggle around folks being demonized. We just haven't attached a color to those folks for the most part.
And also, Assassin's Creed, Ubisoft, France, it's not American made.
Yeah.
And I think, basically going on what you're saying, I think the issue would be an American made company dealing with basically
black American issues.
Yes. And having to create scenarios where I don't know how else to say it, but like they're literally creating themselves on screen being the antagonist to
like,
black
hell,
people.
Hell
so,
like
so white
I,
guilt.
I loved I loved Grand Theft Auto 5, and Franklin was probably my favorite character in that game.
Yeah.
Franklin and Lamar.
Frank, huh?
And Lamar.
And Lamar. Yeah. But like Franklin's blackness boils down to him being a hood kid and wanting more than the hood life.
Yeah.
But he didn't get treated any differently than basically anybody else in the game, really.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like when you really think about it, not really.
Right.
I mean, besides that first job we had, him and Homeboy, like, because he kept saying, you and, like, his boss was like, you and Homeboy, go to the car.
Right. But that's like, that was a microaggression at best. And, that was
and he
it.
Wasn't white.
Yeah.
He's like Armenian.
Right. Well, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, and everybody sitting at this table knows that, like, this is not going to be, like, solved overnight.
No.
Like, these are things that are going to happen over time. But
Obama got voted in. Racism is over.
I'm saying 10 years. Like, the reason why I say 10 years is because I feel like we are in a changing time, and we have people who are becoming content creators.
Right.
And becoming game developers. Mm-hmm. And I think in 10 years, we're going to really see those people now grow up to enter the industry or get promoted in the industry, so where they can actually lead with their voices.
Right. And I think I know why, Sean, you said that a black game that's not a franchise won't sell, but I'd like to believe that.
That's what they said about Black Panther.
Right.
Black Panther is still a Marvel movie, and it's in a larger franchise.
Right.
I feel like as long as the right studio does it and it has enough groundswell, mm-hmm. because like movies are different because movies are cheaper. But
yeah,
I feel like all it needs is the right backing and the right amount of word of mouth.
So, for example, all right, now Crackdown, mm-hmm. Terry Crews.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is going to be a big deal. I mean, yeah. granted, it's not going to be like, I'm Terry Crews. I got pulled over by the cops. I'm about to blow this whole place up, you know, but but it's going to be like, I am the face of probably the first Xbox exclusive
yep.
that people actually legit been waiting for.
Yeah. They literally rebuilt the game around him.
Yeah.
That's why it was delayed again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so like,
that's a good example.
You have... Yeah, so you have that. And so this might be the first opportunity for a game that, like, if people want to play Crackdown, they're going to have to buy Xbox systems to play Crackdown.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's still a franchise, though. It's still a sequel. And people are looking for Crackdown anywho.
Yeah, but true. Right. But, like...
Sneak in the race. Sneak.
When did Crackdown... When was the last time the game came out? Like...
2002?
So it's not like...
I don't know.
That audience that may have been waiting... Yeah, but like you're really trying to capture a new audience at this point.
Right.
Especially if this audience bought like
9 years ago.
Oof. Yeah, come on. That's like saying like, oh, they put a black character in Shenmue. Like, you know what I mean?
That old big lip looking.
It's still Shenmue. Like, people are buying it for Shenmue. Right. Like, granted, they are buying it for Shenmue, but like at this point, the original audience is.
Yeah. And you know what? Actually, that actually reminded me of something that I was going to bring up before. And
there are two black people in Shenmue. Go ahead.
I think there's another layer to this whole thing, and it's the Japanese market. And like, they also have, I would go to say, they have a worse problem when it comes to representing dark skin than Americans do.
Yeah.
Because when they represent dark skin in Japanese, it's always the bad guy. Evil Ken. Dark skin. Evil Ryu, dark skin. And it's just like, they do it blatantly.
The problem, I think, with Japanese representation of dark skin, though, is unlike Americans, they largely exist in a vacuum. Like, that doesn't make it okay.
I kind of disagree with that only because for a while I thought that was the case. Mm-hmm. But there's a lot of, like, Caribbeans in Japan.
Oh, right, true. I did run into a Haitian in Japan.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they like had a shoe store. It was weird.
You looked at him, looked at you. I'm just trying to survive.
Spider-Man meme.
Exactly. We were looking at each other like, what are you doing here?
So there is somewhat representation. Yeah, it might not be anywhere near like 10%
right.
of the population, but there is like, there is that there. And we also have the internet. We all have YouTube. So, like...
True.
It's...
But even still, media has never been the best indicator. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Media has never been
the
best way to filter the way that a people is.
Right.
You know? And I'm saying that they do have more, like, at least than they used to, they do have more exposure to black people.
Yeah.
But still, like, some of the... What are these big game developers and these, like...
They don't
executives
even hire.
Exactly
that's
so
true.
Like they still exist in more of a vacuum than Americans do.
That's true.
Can you write about something that you don't even hire from within?
White people do it all the time.
Yeah, that's true.
You can write about anything.
You sure can. Will people like it?
Money,
no.
I'll do it.
But I don't know, we're getting like a little long to the tooth here, I guess, but
yeah.
I don't know, I just think it's definitely something that's worth talking about and continuing to talk about and continuing to explore, you know?
At the end of the day, just give me a character creator. I'll do
it. Yeah.
Or, I don't know if y'all played Tony Hawk Underground. Where you could scan your face. That was one of the first games you could scan your face in there. Yeah.
You can do that with 2K
Rainbow Six as well.
You'd be looking all crazy in
like
that
in
shit,
basketball.
Though.
Yeah. You can do that in 2K.
You can also
of course
do that.
They'd let you do that in baskets like now.
You can also do that. You can also do that in WWE 2K. I think it's a 2K thing at this point.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Trying to get anybody about them games. Especially WWE.
Shut up, man.
Yeah. So like
Mark is the only one buying them.
I would say just to wrap it up, like I think it's safe to say that we all started as gamers first and then kind of found the blackness that
we gained our melanin later.
There you go. Yeah, I like that better.
Hey. Yeah, so, that's you know, true.
We all play the same games,
not the same skin.
And I mean, I don't know, like if any of y'all out there who hear this episode and have a gaming story of your own or like how you got into it, feel free to share with us. I mean, we're all open to hearing it. We wanted to talk about it because we wanted to share our experience.
Yep.
But ultimately, we're trying to reach out to other people as well.
Share it on our Facebook channel.
Yeah.
Press X to start. Do it.
By all means.
Do it.
We'd love to hear from you.
Or else.
Uno out.
So a little inside baseball, a little behind the scenes for you. As we started to record this episode initially, it was a bit of a mess, and it all was capsized by DJ making a big blunder that resulted in hilarity. And instead of cutting it entirely, we figured we'd share it with you on the back end. So here's a little bonus stinger, if you will. Enjoy.
Record.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Press X to Start Culture Topics.
Culture.
As we
culture.
Said.
We'll
on,
work on that title.
Yeah, we'll figure it out. No, wait. Ha. Welcome to Press X to Start for the Culture.
Ah, hey. I like that.
Aha.
It's awesome.
Swipe.
Aha.
Swipe.
You will call it its regular name.
Oh, wait. I'm sorry.
Hype
it
dance.
Was not recording.
Hype dance.
It was not recording, guys. I pressed the button. It was not recording.
Come on, Dee Dee.
At least I caught it.
What does this button do?
Yeah, that's true. If you didn't catch it, if we were like knee deep in a conversation,
20 minutes went by.
We would have. We would have.
Like, I'm gone home. Hey, Sean, take me home.
We would have thrown DJ out the window.
I did what I could. I tried what I can.
It would have been this window, just so we know that you got hurt but not died.
So ooh, here's the funny car. Thing, right?
Ooh,
it actually was recording. I just couldn't see it because it was so small.
Yo, get this nigga out of here.
Take Keith, fuck this nigga up.
Yo, you know what? I'm not even going to edit that part out. I'm just going to keep it in.
Fire, bro.
You know what?
Wait, are we still recording?
Well,
yeah, we're recording. Hey, guys, right. I'm embarrassed.
So the first culture topic episode's off to a great start.
Thank you.
Oh my
God. So wait, should we just re-record?
No.
No.
Okay.
No. Okay.
It's gold, Jerry.
We're doing it live.
Fuck it. Do it live.
Wait.
Huh?
Good.
Oh my God. So for this week. What is happening?
Podcast. Off the rails, bro.
I mean, it sounds like we should be re-recording this.
Nope.
Okay.
Nope.